Hi, everyone. Welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I am Dory.
We are here. We have not taken any pregnancy tests, to my knowledge.
Nope.
And tomorrow is the day to go in and get blood drawn.
Yep.
How you feeling? How's your week been?
I mean, my
How's
week.
How's your post-PTW, your post-transfer week?
I mean, I'm not, like, happy with the Supreme Court.
Oh, yeah. That was not good.
No, that was not good. That's kind of put a damper on
things. But, like, not surprising either.
No, but that doesn't make it better.
I mean, the dystopian future that we've all allowed to happen, I think we get what we deserve here.
It's not that. I mean, look, I could go on about this for a long time, but, you know, the Republicans have just been more organized about this and like, they have figured out how to successfully manipulate people in ways
and
that...
And districts.
Exactly, yes, and districts.
And, you know, just lines on maps.
And it's like, you know, it's that whole, like, when they go low, we go high.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Going high has just fucked us.
When they go low, we get fucked.
Yes, because we try to go high because we assume that they are operating in good faith. And actually, they are not.
Absolutely.
And so it's just, and like, I feel like the younger politicians, like my hero, Alexandria. Oh, yeah, your favorite. Yeah. Uh-huh. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, like, she gets it. But, like, Nancy Pelosi doesn't get it.
Right, yeah, sure.
You know, so, I don't know. I'm just, like, stewing over that. So, I think I've mentioned this on this show before, but Kate and I on Forever 35, we started this thing called the Giving Circle with this organization called the States Project that is working to, like, put in this infrastructure in the states that the Republicans have had for decades because they understood how important state legislatures and state elections and school board elections and like all those things were. And now the Democrats are finally waking up.
In fairness, Democrats usually win the popular vote for president. So.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter anymore. Nope. Like, it literally doesn't matter. So anyway, the States Project is working on flipping state legislatures in 7 battleground states. And there's a Forever 35 giving circle that's raising money towards this. And so if any eggheads would like to donate, we welcome your donations. No donation is too small. I will link to it in the show notes. Yeah. Just wanted to put in that little plug.
Sure. I think that's a valid plug, a great cause, and we'll see what happens. It's a disaster area. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so backwards. It's the opposite of progress. It's whatever the opposite of progress is. Regression? Yes, I guess that's the actual opposite.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like it's not really a consolation to know that like this is a very typical historical cycle because it's like we have to live through it.
Yeah.
You know?
I know, but like the last time, I don't know. What was the last time?
Well, I mean, a really good example, I think, well, one was like Reaganomics.
Sure.
One was like Nazis. I mean, they came out of the Weimar Republic.
Well, and they're back.
You
know, they're back. They seem to be very in right now.
Reconstruction, like post-Civil War.
Yes.
You know, I was like, oh, slaves are free. Okay, well, wait, we're going to just turn the clock back. You know what I mean? Like, just, I don't know. Like one of the senators from Texas tweeted that that the Supreme Court should overturn Plessy versus Ferguson and Brown versus Board of Education. Like they want to turn back the clock. Like,
well, I think that's because all the famous Supreme Court cases are landmark decisions for civil liberties, and that's a problem for the party.
Well, civil rights.
Right.
Anyway, that is my soapbox for today. It's just been pretty depressing over the last few days.
Yes, it has.
So that's, I mean,
so that's on me for asking how it was going this week.
Well, I mean, other than that, like, I don't know, I guess like it's been fine. I don't really feel anything besides tired, which, as I said to you, is not that out of the ordinary.
Right. You do have a 3-year-old.
I do have a 3-year-old and I am old. So
mm-hmm. How old is Mama?
Mama is 45.
When Henry be 45?
He asked me today when he was going to be 61. And then he asked me if he was still going to nap when he was 61.
Oh, yeah. Did you tell him yes?
I said, you know what, but it'll be up to you. He said, I think no.
Wow. Well,
and then and last night we were talking about how there's a shower in the bath. And he's like, why? Like, he wanted to know, like, why some people take showers and why some people take baths.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, it's not like all, like, it's not like all older people take showers and like littler people take baths, but mm-hmm. like I would say most older people do take showers. And he said, when Henry is 51, mm-hmm. Henry will take a shower.
Good question.
And I said, probably.
Maybe
he's very into asking
it'll be like
about
a sonic shower.
It's, you just know, so funny. Like, he's shower. So into asking about things when he's like very, he's like much older. Not like what will happen when I'm 6. What yeah. will happen when I'm 51?
Yeah, he asks often asks me about you know, what he'll be doing when he's 21, 16. He has a lot of questions.
Yeah. How big he'll be.
He really wants to plot out life.
You he know? Does. I respect that.
Mm-hmm. He's got a plan. We don't.
Yeah.
So
he's all we have. Oh gosh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I, you know,
I know a lot of things.
You do?
Yeah, but nothing particularly helpful right now.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Like, I kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of like, should I have just taken a pregnancy test?
As a result of, you mean to have content?
No. Oh. To just like, know.
Oh, no. Because I don't think you're thinking about it that much, honestly.
I'm not, because I'm like pretty sure it didn't work.
Wow. That's not what I was going for, but okay.
Because it's just like, I don't know. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking that it worked?
You're not acting like it did. And you know your body better than anyone, mm-hmm. you know? I think you know, usually ladies should be in charge of their own bodies.
Yeah, but I don't think I acted any different in the 2-week wait for Henry.
I think you did.
You do?
I don't know.
You don't remember.
Well, also, you didn't have Henry, so it was like not...
I know.
It was not like...
yeah.
You couldn't equate it.
Yeah, totally.
Because I, you know... You get thinking about life without Henry, and you get a little wistful for a simpler time.
Matt's feeling wistful for a simpler time.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't trade him for anything, but boy, oh boy. Life was easier.
Mm-hmm.
So. Just hope that... when he joins the Young Republicans, he's, you know, his sweater taste is excellent.
Don't even joke about that. It's like not even funny.
Honey. Maybe the parties will flip again, you know?
I doubt
like
it.
Like Lincoln, you know, the policies just flipped.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Democrats.
And but I don't think.
It's very funny when they all tout Lincoln, but that was completely the opposite way back then, everyone.
Totally. I know. I don't think that's going to happen, but maybe.
Maybe. It's almost like a two-party system just doesn't work very well.
No, I don't think it does. We should probably have a parliamentary system.
I think we should have a 4-party system.
Okay.
Where everyone attends 4 different parties and mm-hmm. then votes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. How was your week?
Okay. You? Wait, I already asked you that. I didn't have a ton to add on top of how my week was.
Oh, okay.
You know, It was a week. I would describe it as I don't want to say completely unproductive, sort of productive, but you know, I've got to find a job.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
That is a problem.
The longer I'm not working, the harder it is to find work.
Yep.
So it's another problem.
Yep.
Thank you for listening.
Do you have a plan?
No, I do not have a plan.
Okay.
And that's the most terrifying thing to me, because I usually have a plan. So right now I don't have a plan. Thank you. Okay. Once again, everyone.
Well, should we hear from some listeners?
I'd like to hear more from you.
What would you like to hear?
What else is going on?
What else is going on?
Yep. How was the garden?
The garden was nice. Took Henry to the Huntington Garden today. Mm-hmm. With some of his pals from preschool and their moms. You know, it was very warm, so I had about an hour and a half before I was like, okay, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And then right as we got on the freeway, Henry said, Henry has to pee.
Yeah.
So I got off the freeway.
And where did he pee?
Well, I'd brought his potty.
Oh.
So I said, do you want to pee in the potty or do you want to pee on a tree? And he said, in the potty.
Oh, wow. I never give him potty option. He just goes tree.
I got to drive home with a bag of pee.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, in fact, I ordered another travel potty just to keep in the car.
Okay.
Because I figured, and like I put a thing of wipes in the car because I think there were some wipes, but in like an old diaper bag. And I was like, I don't think these, like, they're probably all dried out. Because I was like, there will definitely be a time where he has to poop,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're like out and about. And so I just wanted to like know that I had the potty.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I would guess, I guess he's essentially trained.
He is trained.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the next step is, having him not wear a diaper for nap.
Mm-hmm.
And then overnight is tricky. Like overnight is like a biological thing. And like some kids are dry overnight, like very quickly. And then some kids have to wear pull-ups till they're like 8.
Okay.
And it's like, it's nothing you can really like control.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I guess we'll see which one he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, he's potty trained.
Great. I mean, today he was like, he wanted me to make pancakes,
mm-hmm.
blueberry pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started cooking something. I was like, oh, I got to go, but I got to pee. I'll be right back. And he goes, Henry, come with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, because you have to pee too? And he goes, yeah. So I was like, well, then do you want to pee outside on the bush? And he goes, yeah, I need to pee on the bush. And I was like, okay. So we went out and we like stood like 18 feet apart. I was like, pick out a spot, bud. And he like picks out a spot like, you know, 18 feet away. And then I'm over here and I start peeing. And then Henry's like, what's happening? Because he wasn't peeing. And I was like, do you really have to pee? He's like, yeah. And then, like, a little came out.
Oh.
And he was like, okay.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah, it's real fun to get adults to pee outside again.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Good times. It's like everywhere's a golf course.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, we had fun. Yesterday, we took him to the California Science Center, which was more of a hit than I was envisioning.
For him, yeah.
For him, yeah. That's who I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought you were just talking about for us as a family.
For us as a family, I thought it went well.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a somewhat decent time. He loved the aquarium and the aquarium.
and the hurricane.
And the booth. The $3 hurricane booth.
I mean, he asked to go back.
To the hurricane booth for $3.
Which I thought was cute.
I mean, wait till he figures out that it tells you how fast the wind is on the screen.
Oh my goodness.
I know. He loves a variable, a measured variable.
He does. He really does. Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much everything that's happening over here.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yep.
I need a job.
Mm-hmm.
The judicial system's a mess,
mm-hmm.
as well as the rest of the government.
Yep.
And Dory feels the same.
Mm-hmm.
And she's tired. There you go.
All right.
That's our update. We'll be right back. Back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. We're back. Oh, that hurt you? Or
you're
what?
Just, like,
oh, physically
tugging.
When I tugged on the accidentally tugged on your headphone
yes.
cable? It's not exactly the longest cable.
No, it's not.
We'd have the other ones in here. The cord would be much longer, but you stole those.
I did.
Now
I mean,
in your office.
We could swap. I could bring those other ones back out here and I could use these.
Well, do whatever. You're the one who wears them, so whatever makes you comfortable.
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
You're welcome.
Just a reminder, everyone, please email us at doryandmatt@gmail or mattanddory@gmail and do call us at 413-461-BABY.
Please do.
Please do that. And actually, speaking of calls, we are going to kick things off with a voicemail.
Hang on. Okay.
Hi, Matt and Jory. It's Annie from just outside of Chicago. I had to pause the pod because I'm in the car with my son, and Henry came on the pod, and my son apparently thought Henry was talking to him because he got very excited and was singing along to the alphabet and was just babbling and babbling and babbling. So I had to let you know. So if you guys are ever in the Chicago area, we have a toddler friend for Henry.
Good to know.
I just wanted to give you the heads up. It was very cute and very funny. And I'm very pro more Henry interviews. So again, Annie,
it's hard not to crack.
Chicago, 1,600 square feet. I've only had one Chicago style hot dog this year. I don't care what Matt says. Chicago style. And that's only because it just turned summer. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know what the measurements are of our TVs are, so I can't tell you that. All right. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for calling in. Good to know Henry as a Midwest friend.
You know, this voicemail did make me think that a 5-minute podcast of Henry would be kind of amazing.
I mean, we could just tack it on.
Well, it could be a Patreon thing.
I see. Okay. I love it. Incentives.
Yeah.
Support the pod. I don't have a job. Support the pod.
Well, it just made me think that, like, it must be so wild for, like, a toddler to hear a voice coming out of a speaker that sounds like them.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Must be like when you put on the, like, channel for dogs.
Yeah.
On the TV, and the dogs are supposed to watch it.
Like, most children's programming is made by adults.
All children's programming, you know, is made by adults.
And so, and even, like a Teletubby kind of thing, which, yeah, is supposed to be, you know, for babies. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not actual babies.
Except for the son. The son was a baby.
But not a real baby.
The son was a real baby.
The son was a real baby?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, there goes my theory.
Okay.
I'm just saying that, like, I think there is something that, like, little kids would enjoy about another little kid, like, talking to them.
Well, I think it's about time Henry got his own podcast.
I mean, Henry wants his own podcast.
Get a revenue stream, Henry.
Henry, Matt's unemployed. Support the family. I mean, Henry was very expensive.
That's very true.
So, all right. Someone else wrote in to say, hello, Matt and Dory. I had to pause the pod to send in this voice memo when you all shared that you had 2 embryos transferred. You may remember me from a few years ago. I wrote in to ask other listeners if they had experience with male sterility after guarding nuclear weapons in the military.
I do remember that.
I remember this too.
I was like, first part, I was like, well, that's very vague. And then the second part, oh, yes.
You know, I believe this was one of the only emails we've ever gotten where we got no responses to it.
Mm. Yeah, no nuclear scientists out there helping us out.
And now we have twin girls from a donor embryo transfer. Just wanted to share my perspective on being a twin parent should you get the news that you are joining the Multiples Club. And then they left a voicemail that I will play now.
Hey, Shafriras. My name is Michelle. I'm from Eastern North Carolina. I just wanted to send a voice memo in to give you guys a little bit of encouragement after your embryo transfer last week. Back in March of 2021, I had 3 embryos, untested embryos, implanted, transferred, and 2 of them stuck. I now have twin girls that'll be 8 months old on July 8th. So we're almost at the point now where they have been outside of me as long as they were inside of me. But the point of this voice memo is just to give you some encouragement that being a twin parent is very hard, but it is far more rewarding than it is difficult. The pregnancy itself, that was fucking hell. I'm not going to hide that fact. It was fucking hell. The delivery, I had planned for a vaginal delivery, and it didn't work out for me, so I had a C-section, and I did hemorrhage some.
Oy.
But obviously, I'm still here to tell the tale. I would do every bit of it again, to have my girls. They are so worth it. Absolutely worth it. Seeing them interact with each other is the best feeling in the world. And I'm going to say that it's not quite as bad as everybody makes it out to be. Now, I know there are some people, most people, that'll tell you don't have twins if you can help it. But I will say that if you do end up having twins, I guarantee you, you will absolutely love it. They are not genetically ours. We adopted them as embryos. They were frozen for almost 11 years when we got them.
Cool.
But they are the best part of me and the best part of my life. I would do every bit of it again to have them. So, Matt, don't psych yourself out too much. I know you're worried. I know you named your episode Double Trouble, but it's also Double Fun and Double Blessing.
Or I named it.
Take care, and I hope all the best for you. I can't wait to hear your results. Bye.
Bye. It's a good name, though, because that's Stevie Ray Vaughan's band, Double Trouble. So, little words of disencouragement.
I mean, I think she meant them as words of encouragement.
No, I know, but I was reading between the lines of the tiredness and, you know, oh, I will say it's like efficient. I like efficiency.
It's efficient if you wanted to have like if we were like, oh, we want to have three kids.
Yeah.
Then yes, having twins would be efficient. But
yeah, but I think it's like, you know, you want the love, you know, triple sure. it up.
Yeah.
It's like when I go to the store and I buy two 12 packs of Diet Sprite.
Oh, it is like that.
Same thing.
Yeah, totally.
I'm like, I'll know I'll be back for another Sprite anyway.
Right.
Let's just put two in the cart.
Oh, okay. Good idea. Twins are like Sprite.
Mm-hmm. Sprite Zero.
Sprite Zero. Yeah, I mean, we should be so lucky to have twins.
Mm.
You know,
are you touching your computer screen?
I had some,
not a touch screen.
I had some dirt on it. I was just brushing the
dirt. It's funny when Henry tries to touch the screen, but doesn't touch.
You know, it just made me think of, we were at a birthday party last weekend with Henry, and one of my friends was there who has a baby. I mean, she's like a year old now, but she's still very baby-like, and she was carrying her, and I think the little girl had been like eating something and she had some like schmutz on her foot, and Henry just like very gently brushed it off her foot.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sweet, actually.
I mean, it's like your new morning routine with him, which is apparently mopping.
Oh, yes. Well, it's more what he really likes to do is to get, he has that little Melissa and Doug cleaning set with the broom and the mop and the dustpan and the duster, and he takes the big broom, he calls it the sweeping broom. Mm-hmm. And then he hands me the dustpan and the little broom, and he goes, okay, mama, you clean up. Like, he starts sweeping.
Yeah.
And then he makes me like sweep up his little pile. Yeah. And then he likes to throw it out.
Well, I mean, we should have known, because of his proclivity for following me around with the bonus spray.
Oh, yeah.
Or what is it called? Bona spray.
Bona, yeah.
And whenever I would clean the floors, he would be right on it.
Yeah.
Spraying every little nook and cranny and then making me mop it up.
And then he goes, why there's so much dust? He's always like, you guys are disgusting.
Yeah, well, he gets it. We are.
All right.
What a jerk that Henry can be sometimes.
All right. Hi, Matt and Dory. Do you or your listeners have any advice on gender selection and family planning? Gender selection was a weird concept to me before, but after 4 miscarriages, 10 years of infertility, followed by IVF, now gender selection feels like a fun bonus. I have a brand new baby girl thanks to IVF, and because I'm getting older, I'm thinking about how many kids I can have before the clock runs out, pacing them 18 months apart. The first one is so perfect that I want more. Part of me wants all girls, just a litter of daughters to send out into the world. Maybe they come visit more often and start families of their own sooner, but maybe staggered girl-boy babies would cut down on sibling fights. Would I regret not having a boy? Thank you so much for your podcast and getting me through this mess of fertility appointments, testing, injections, and big emotions. P.S. Caught up with the latest episode and want to send you the best wishes for your embryo transfer. Good luck.
Thank you. I got to tell you that cutting down on fights, that's not going to be a thing.
No. Mm-mm.
My sister and I fought all the time.
Yeah. And my brother and I fought all the time.
Yeah. So that won't help.
No.
Maybe to ease fights, you go same gender.
I don't think there's a foolproof way to not have siblings fight.
Raise them separately.
There is that.
Okay. Nailed it.
Nailed it. Would you regret not having a boy? I mean, I don't think so. I think it's just like...
I didn't want one.
Yeah. And like now you can't imagine like...
Yeah, I can. I think back and it's like, wow, all the freedom we had to go places and do things.
Mm-hmm.
But do you mean having a kid besides Henry? Yeah, I can't imagine.
That's
that
what I mean.
Can't imagine.
That's what I mean.
I can remember not having...
No, but you know what I'm talking about. I think you just like end up being happy with whatever you have, I think. You know?
I mean, certainly grateful.
Yeah.
For whatever we got, which was Henry.
I do feel like trying to like overplan this stuff is always going to backfire.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, just... do what you want, but like, don't.
It's like if you buy too much Sprite Zero, you know?
Oh, go on.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you bought so much and then like, yep, you suddenly lose the taste for it. You're like, oh, this backfired. I've bought too much Sprite Zero.
Interesting.
Can you tell it the only thing that's gone on in my life this week is my rediscovery of Sprite Zero?
How's that working out for you?
It's a delicious beverage. It's just so much better than 7-Up. That's the thing.
Oh my God, what is it
and
called?
And it's caffeine free. Hello?
I'm trying to remember the name of that soda. It's not Fanta. It's not Shasta. It's...
RC?
No. Oh my God.
Hi, Bo.
I'm trying... Oh my God, what is the name of it? This is going to drive me crazy. Sorry, I have to try and find it.
Can you give me any like hints of flavor?
Fresca!
Sure, Fresca.
How do you feel about Fresca?
Love a Fresca.
I think Fresca's delicious.
Fresca's hard to find in the States.
In the States?
In the United States.
Really?
Yeah.
It
is? You go overseas, Fresca is like in multiple flavors all over the place.
Must be because I'm so cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
But I love Fresca.
You're such a Cosmo.
I am. All right. Let's hear one more voicemail. Last week, we heard from a listener who was wondering kind of about the best time to tell her 3-year-old that she's about, you know, the baby that's coming.
Yeah.
We got some responses about that.
Hey, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Bo. This call is in response to the caller who had wanted to know when to tell her 3-year-old that they were going to have another baby. I would say, considering that your 3-year-old is a blabbermouth, I would tell the 3-year-old at the same time that you tell everybody. So it sounds like you're about 20 weeks pregnant. And I think it's as simple as that. Just, you know, as Dory said, just don't, you know, make it a big deal, but just start talking about it and getting them familiar with it. So yeah, those are my thoughts. My 3-year-old wouldn't be too interested, quite honestly. Unlike Henry, probably wouldn't really care. So be prepared for that, too.
Be careful not to roll back
have a good
and hurt
one.
Bo's paw.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for that message. Hopefully that is a good way to do it. We've got a special guest joining us.
Yep.
So
how are we going to do this, Mama?
Okay, you're going to sit on my lap.
How are we going to do this?
You're going to sit on my lap. Okay.
What do those numbers mean?
Oh,
what do those numbers mean?
Those are numbers if I wanted to call somebody. Okay, so speak into the microphone, Bubba.
So what? So
What's up, bud?
Oh, I want to press Joe's numbers.
No, bud, we can't press these numbers.
Henry, welcome to the show.
What do what red means?
Red means we're recording.
So I
ask Henry what he thinks about when to tell Henry, someone they're having a sibling.
Henry, what do you think about when you're 3 years old, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about being a 3 year old?
So don't go to go from stay at home.
You stay at home mostly when you're a 3 year old?
Do you go to school?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but like if you were how would you like someone to tell you that you were going to have a sibling?
So you have.
I think the best way to get answers out of him is to close your computer.
I agree. No, we're not
we gotta close it because right we're podcasting.
Podcast time.
You gotta answer Dita's question. Yeah? Do you want to sing Down by the Bay? Down by the...
I sing ABCs.
Oh, you want to sing ABCs again?
Yeah.
That's your number one hit. Go ahead.
A, B, C, D, E, bonk.
Bonk? Wow. Henry, you're going to be the next Weird Al. I know it.
White top one is on the middle or bottom, dear.
Well, I wanted to have two spare tracks in case I needed to do any editing. Thank you. Uh-huh. So, Henry, would you say that you were not at all helpful?
Yeah.
Okay.
Henry, what did you do today?
Well, I wonder.
You do wonder. Okay, what did you do? Do you remember? What time did you wake up this morning?
7:07.
Correct, 7:07, yeah. And then...
What did you have for breakfast, bud?
Do you remember?
We had pancakes.
Yes, we had pancakes because you wanted Dita to make pancakes. What kind of pancakes did we make?
Strawberry ones.
Blueberry. What episode of Mickey did you watch this morning? Yeah? You're all done. Just like that? This interview is over? Okay, bud. Thanks for being on the show. Henry's out. Okay, we'll talk to your PR people later. Thanks for being on the show. Well, that ended poorly. He just walked out on us, honey.
Yep.
And that is how you interview a 3-year-old. You get no answers except for pancakes and 7:07.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's take a break and then we'll talk about sibling stuff.
Other things.
Yeah.
Or back on track, rather. Be right back.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We're back, everybody.
Hello.
Henry's not here.
Nope.
Bo is lying down.
Well, I think that what this caller said is a good point. Like, 3-year-olds are blabbermouths.
Yeah.
So you can tell the kid when you're ready for everyone to know.
Yeah. Henry likes to sing, so maybe he would sing it
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
A, B, C, D, E, F, bonk.
A, B, C, D, E, F, bonk. He likes a bonk.
He does like a bonk.
And a boop.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We also got an email about this from Rebecca. For the listener wondering about how to tell their three-year-old about their pregnancy, here's what my husband and I did. Our oldest was almost three when we told her that she would be a big sister. We did it very casually at about 12 weeks by giving her the book I'm a Big Sister by Caroline Jane Church. There's also a brother version. And simply stating that I was growing a baby. She didn't seem to understand, but was happy to have a new book. We read it regularly, and whenever she played with baby dolls, talked about how the new baby would be, sleepy, crying, dirty diapers, etc., as well as ways she could help by following instructions and being gentle. Oh, that reminds me. When we were at Huntington Gardens today, he was eating a snack. We were, like, sitting under a tree, and there was a baby, like, not far away from us with parents or mom or whatever, mm-hmm. On a blanket, and the baby was kind of crying.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry goes, why that baby is crying? And I said, why do you think, bud? And he said, maybe he is tired. And I said, yeah, he probably is. It's probably his nap time. Most every conversation included that babies need lots of care and attention, then ended with, we love you very much. She eventually became very excited about having a little sister, especially after we took her to an ultrasound appointment. This was in the before times. Mm-hmm. She got to tell some family about the pregnancy, both in person and over FaceTime, by saying she was going to be a big sister. By the time little sister arrived, she was all in and would remind us of things babies did, like cry a lot and have yucky diapers. While we were getting ready, we made sure to include her whenever possible. She even helped paint the baby's room for about 5 minutes before getting tired. Something else we did was to pick toys we already had that were going to be for baby and move special or favorite toys out of the living room into her bedroom so baby wouldn't use them. Her bedroom became more of a playroom and safe space. We did talk about things like toys / things that baby could get hurt by, and we needed help looking out for unsafe things. Being gentle and bringing up the subject regularly during play or meals worked for us, and a few gifts sprinkled in didn't hurt. Like Dory mentioned, you know your kid the best and how they accept change / new things. The transition to two is tough, but looking back, it was easier going from one to two than from zero to one. Yes, there's more laundry, toys, and just stuff, but they do play together and have someone else to talk to. 1,600 square feet, no hot dogs that count, and I think a 55-inch in the living room. Good luck, Rebecca. Oh, and then she added
This is very on topic for what we were just discussing.
Yes. A potty training conversation a few weeks ago, our six-year-old in the past 4 months just stopped needing overnight pull-ups. Her body finally grew into being able to sleep through the night without peeing. I know people that woke their kid up in the middle of the night to pee and avoid accidents, but sleep is too important to us for us to mess with that. Two adults, six-year-old, three-year-old, 22-inch monitor, 34-inch monitor, and 14-inch CRT for husband's work-at-home setup / PC gaming.
What does he do that he needs a cathode ray tube television?
That's only 14 inches. Is that how big they are?
I mean, they can be many sizes. Hmm. Up to like 36, I think. Back in the day, that was what all TVs were.
Interesting.
Thank you. Thank you for me and my interestingness. What's next here? Sleep regressions?
Suzanne, yes. Talking about sleep regressions.
I'm writing to send out the egg signal for a three-year-old sleep regression. May not remember, but I sent out the egg signal for the two-year-old regression, and it helped. So I'm back, and I need help. Newly turned three-year-old has been a great sleeper since 9 months. Sleep trained using CIO with Poppins method.
Cry it out.
Thank you. We're still in the crib. No climbing out. But recently, when protesting bedtime, he started straddling the crib rail. I'm not worried about him getting hurt because he's a climber, but I know that's frowned upon in the parenting world. Just not ready for him to move to a bed. I'm scared. Anyway, we started about 6 weeks ago with a few random middle-of-the-night wakings. He would just start crying, an ugly cry in the middle of the night. I was able to go in after a few minutes of crying and reassure him that he was safe, and it was still nighttime. He'd fall back asleep right away. 4 weeks ago, he started stalling at bedtime. One more hug, one more drink of water. I've got boogies. So we quickly realized we were being bamboozled. Well, yeah, it's just how it goes. And started holding the boundary, one of each of those things. Then if he continues to protest and cry, after we leave the room, we walk in boring monotone style and say goodnight. Mom and Dita are going night. M goes night, night, what? Okay. this worked okay, and about 2 weeks ago, we had 3 days of what can only be described as a total redo of sleep training crying. For 2 hours before bed and 2 hours in the middle of the night, we handle it the exact same way as our original method, but it's much harder with a speaking toddler. It's true. Since then, we still had some bedtime protests. It's a lot calmer, the crying and straddling the railing, but after 2-3 check-ins, he's asleep. It's about 15 to 30 minute process. That's not long at all. We still have middle of the night wake-ups that last for about 15 to 30 minutes and happen every 3 to 4 days. Pretty lost. I'm just not sure what to do. Is this normal? All three-year-olds just tough sleepers due to their brain development? Do I buy a preschool toddler bed course? If so, whose? Do I just keep doing what I'm doing? Pretty lost. All the people in my life sleep with their children, and that is not an option for me and my husband. Nor should it be. Every parenting and sleep group seems to be centered around the infant or young toddler sleep situation. Is it time to drop his nap? Oh, that's a thing you can do. Which, by the way, is met with zero protest. As a matter of fact, the nap is requested. It is 1 to 1.5 hours. Would be longer if we let it. Help? Suzanne, 1,200 square feet, Texas, sleepy, grumpy husband, three-year-old, hot dogs, zero hot dogs, 2022. Toddler loves them. Just got into corn dog land over here. TV's 42 inches, I think. Thanks to the podcast, one of the bright lights of these dark days. That was a lot to unpack and uncover.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I don't have an answer for you. I would say let the kid climb out of the crib. Ending the nap sounds like that's an interesting question. Would that make sleep any easier? Or would you just be left with the grumpiest toddler of all time who still didn't want to sleep? That's the question. So I don't know that I'd immediately eliminate the nap. Do you have any advice here?
I think the sort of like calm, confident, just like kind of what you've been doing.
Well, what she's been doing hasn't been working, hence her writing in.
No, I know. I'm just rereading this. I'm like, total redo of sleep training. Still had some bedtime protests. It's a lot calmer. I mean, I guess I just wonder, like, when he has the middle of the night wake ups, like, can you ignore those?
I don't know. I don't know that you'd want to either, because it seems like the quicker you're done with them, the quicker he goes back to sleep, and you could go back to sleep.
Yeah. I don't know. It does sound like he's ready to be out of the crib. The straddling the railing situation, I don't love.
Yeah.
But, I mean, then moving him into a bed could lead to all sorts of other sleep, like, training issues.
Yeah, of course. Know?
I don't know. Someone wiser and more experienced than us should weigh in on this. Thank you.
Henry does all those delay things, by the way.
Yeah, he does. He's just not straddling the crib yet.
He asks for tissue. He asks for a book off the bottom shelf.
Oh, nap today, he called me back in. He asked for 10 books.
Okay.
And I said, but I'm not going to bring you 10 books. And he said, how about 2 books? And I said, no, I'm not going to bring you 2 books.
Wow, rude.
I said, here's, I picked up some book that was like on the bed. I said, here's this book. And I put it in the pile. I said, I'm going to go lie down now. And I'm not going to come back in if you call for me. it's time for you to go to sleep.
I said, that is true. That's something we do. We tell him when we're at our final return, we say, we are not coming back in. So anything you need right now would be a good time.
And then I said, but you're, and meanwhile, he's like sitting there rubbing his eyes. I'm like, you are so tired. Why don't you lie down and just go to sleep? And he goes, no. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go now. Yeah. 3-year-old, am I right?
I guess you're right.
Okay. Okay. Moving on to another topic. Dogs and babies.
Yeah, I'm familiar with both those things.
Okay.
Hi, Matt and Dory. I was calling to address the listener who was worried about their puppy and their baby. And I was in a really similar situation because I very intelligently decided to get a puppy right around the same time that I had my last transfer, thinking it wasn't going to work. And then the transfer worked, and we have a 2-year-old Australian Shepherd who's only 9 months older than our son. So I will say the one thing that really worked out for us is my dog never knew me when I wasn't pregnant. So she was very, very accustomed to, like, my smell and the smell of the baby and was just really, really excited. And then a lot of what you guys say, just hyper-monitoring and making sure that, you know, they're never alone together. Now that our son is, like, 16, 17 months old, he just strong-arms the dog. The dog is incredibly protective of him. And it's really nice to kind of see that they're slowly kind of developing into playmates and things like that. The first time Jack ever threw a ball for our dog Ahsoka was like her dream come true, that somebody else was around to play fetch with her. So that's Jess living in 1,000 square feet in Northwest Pennsylvania, a lot of hot dogs, and as many TVs as people. I think the biggest is 72 inches because we watch way too much television. Bye.
Thank you.
I mean,
Australian Shepherds are a lot of work.
They're very.
They need a lot of running.
They're very smart.
Yeah,
they also need a lot of running. Some would say too smart.
Interesting. They're smarter than your 18-month-old.
Yes.
Currently.
Yes.
And will continue to be smarter than them for like 4 years.
If you just like, if you look at them, they have that smart look in their eyes.
Well.
And there's blue, like they have those like icy blue eyes a lot of the time.
Yeah, like Max Scherzer.
Yeah. Mm. He's an Australian. Oh my God. He is an Australian Shepherd.
Yeah. He's got 2 different color eyes.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. And he's really smart and he needs a lot of exercise.
I guess so.
Or else he like goes ballistic.
Yeah.
If you know, if you don't let him, what was that thing we saw with that YouTube thing we watched where it was like, he needs to like, doesn't he need to like warm up? Like even on days he's not playing, like there is some like crazy thing that he does.
Also, I like when he yells at managers to get back in the dugout, yeah, and not take the ball away.
Yeah. Wow. He is an Australian Shepherd. I knew an Australian Shepherd who lived downstairs for me when I briefly lived in one apartment in New York, and her name was Lucy, and she had 2 different color eyes. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, waddle up to our apartment and then like try to get on my bed, but she couldn't really jump up because she was old. She was so sweet. I was telling our nanny the other day that when Henry was a baby and we used to remember when we used to hand him off to someone else, mm-hmm, and Bo would run over,
yeah,
and like make sure like that we didn't drop the baby.
Right. Not that he could do anything.
Right. But he thought he could.
Yeah.
Ah, poor Bobo. All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for letting me reminisce about Australian Shepherds I have known. All right. We have an email from Trisha with a dilemma. Something happened to me today and I need some advice. A relative gave me a bunch of her child's old toys for my 22-month-old, which included a baby doll crib, changing table, accessories, and a bag of clothes for a, quote, itty-bitty doll. As she said this, I guess my face looked blank because she elaborated, Itty Bitty Doll was the American Girl's version of a baby doll. I definitely had heard of those, but never had an American Girl doll growing up. Mm-hmm. I thanked her and asked her if we found some things we weren't going to play with, would she like me to donate them or give them back to her? She knows people who do play therapy with kids, so it makes sense she might want to give them directly to someone else who would use them. She seemed a little insulted. I would ask about donation and stated she wouldn't just give them to Goodwill. She wanted me to give them to someone who has that doll and would take good care of them. I assured her I would, and then she stated her child's itty bitty doll was not in great shape, so she would buy my daughter a new one before her birthday. I thanked her again, but didn't really absorb the impact of what that meant until later when I looked up the dolls and saw they are over $100. Then I started glancing at the cost of all the accessories and furniture and stuffed animals. Friends, those bags of secondhand toys are probably worth more than all the toys of my childhood combined. So I can totally see why this relative was a tad thrown. I would suggest donating these to Goodwill and overall wasn't fangirling over these dolls. But honestly, I just had no idea they were such a big deal. I want to apologize, but at the same time, I want to discourage her from buying my child a new doll. To each his own, but to me, that kind of money on a doll is complicated. I would really love if someone out there is aware of a less expensive doll which would fit this itty bitty doll's clothes. Maybe I could suggest that to this relative to buy instead, or should I just let it go and be the mom of a two-year-old toting hundreds of dollars in toys under her arm at library circle time? Thank you so much for your advice. It's so bizarre how much of parenting is just, should I make a big deal of this or let it go? And you two seem to have a pretty good compass surrounding that question. I haven't had any hot dogs this year, and I've zero spatial intelligence, so I'm going to have to guess my bedroom TV is 42 inches, but after hearing Matt's incredulity over the size of all our screens, I told my significant other to upgrade it as a Father's Day gift to himself. Fingers crossed, Elmo will be over 50 inches soon.
All right.
Love to you all. Trisha in Kansas City. P.S. Okay, so I wrote this, then caught up on the last few episodes, and oh my gosh, the transfer has happened. I'll be thinking about your family all week, trying not to get my hopes up about the stay-at-home dad podcast potentially being released this time next year by Matt.
Oh my God. What if I am still home this time next year? I'll have to have more than just that podcast going. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah. That's my
advice. What I would say.
I also don't think you need to apologize.
Yeah. Also, don't feel bad about not knowing what... I didn't know what American Girl was until I moved out here and there was a store at the Grove. Did you? I had no idea what they were.
I did because my sister had one.
She did?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Who got it for her?
My parents probably.
What?
Yeah.
They spent money on a thing?
Yep.
That seems weird.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure it was your parents?
It might not have been.
It can't have been.
We'll ask. I'll ask Karen.
I would ask.
Do you want me to ask her right now?
Sure. Ask Karen because I think she's going to be like, no, that was so-and-so. And then we'll get a real answer. Because I don't buy it. I don't believe that your parents would buy her an American Girl doll. Unless it was like some weird thing to try to fit in Brookline where everyone had an American Girl doll. So she needed one.
I mean, possibly. They came out, like I was kind of too old by the time they were released.
I don't know anything about them. Like, they could have been around for 300 years for all
I
know.
No, they came out. I think they came out.
It could be like a Steiff teddy bear. Be started in Germany in 1880.
American Girl doll. Let's see. Okay, yes. Yeah. So they were released. They were first released on May 5th, 1986. So yeah, I think I was too old because I was already 9 at that point.
Right.
Like I was just, I think. And then, oh, and also then 3 months later, we moved to Israel for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I came back, I was definitely too old.
Right.
But my sister, who was born in 1984, I think she probably got one when she was like 4-ish.
Mm.
She has not responded, by the way.
Is she going to get her kids some American Girl dolls?
I think they have one.
Well, they must.
Yeah. In fact, I'm 99% sure they do because I think for my niece's birthday, they went to Dallas where there is an American Girl doll store and they had tea or something. They did the whole thing.
We have to go to Dallas. We're going to watch a Rangers game.
I thought there was one in Austin. Whatever. They went to Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think don't sweat this. But the only other thing I would say is, I think it is generally like when someone gives me clothes or toys or whatever, like I do generally just give them to someone else, but I also have no qualms about donating them to Goodwill, but I never tell the person.
Correct.
You know, so like, I think if this is someone who you're going to see a lot, who they're going to be like, how's that itty bitty doll? Then like, yeah, maybe you don't want to donate it to Goodwill, but like, I don't know. I just feel like when someone gives you something, it's yours. You can do with it what you want.
That's sort of the idea.
You know, it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Moving on. Oh, we're running out of time.
Well, we also, that email's a repeat. The one that's highlighted on my screen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. Yeah. I left that one in. Okay. Then we are just going to read this last email from Sarah in the northwest of England. Mm-hmm. Hi, Matt and Dory. I wanted to suggest adding a down mattress topper to whatever mattress/base setup they decide on. Mm. This was someone who had a mattress question.
Yes, there was, because we talked about Sleep Number beds.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We decided it was time to ditch our appalling IKEA mattress after the birth of baby number two. And after much research, we decided to go for a mattress made with all natural fibers and add a separate topper for additional comfort. Mm-hmm. Our down topper is a couple of inches thick. It fluffs up again perfectly every time it changes the sheets and is great at temperature regulation. It's lovely and cozy in winter, but super breathable when it's warm. We also opted for a double-sided mattress so we could flip and rotate it every month to encourage even wear. 4 years on, I have zero regrets. Yeah. Best wishes for the upcoming transfer from Sarah in the northwest of England. We're two adults, two children, and a bouncy but aging border collie. Sorry, I have no idea how many square feet our home is. One new TV this year, a 55-inch OLED, and at least 6 hot dogs so far. They're a favorite on the barbecue.
I like that hot dogs are getting eaten out there.
Well,
get a topper, everybody.
Get a topper. This brings us to the end of the show. It's the portion of the show where we thank our Patreon supporters. Thank you.
This podcast is my job right now, so thank you for supporting it. Patreon.com/excellent adventure. Get some bonus episodes.
And if you support us at the $5 level or above, you'll also get your name read on the podcast each month. Thank you to the following supporters.
Sure. Mary Jo George.
Maud Tremblay.
Magana Prasad.
Melanie Bronbeck.
Melinda Phelps.
Melissa.
Meryl H.
Michael Roth.
Michelle Saum.
Mike Zytek.
Mike Kim and Leo.
Molly.
Mariah Adamick.
Name. Oh, no, I think that might.
That's okay. Name is good.
Nancy Powell.
Nassim Kansari.
Nicola Hill.
Nicholas Skidmore.
Nicole Mustafa.
Nikki Bossert.
Oshrat Kaplan.
Pamela Carpenter.
Pamela Wong.
Pat, I'm going to say Masajewski. No, it's probably something very.
It's
very, very. It's probably a name I've heard before, but I've never seen it spelled.
It's probably like Machowski.
Yes, it probably is that.
Paul Sharp.
Paula.
Penny from Massachusetts.
Rachel Kuzma.
Rob Bean.
Robert Hamilton.
Robin Kilgo.
Sadie Massa.
Samantha.
Sarah Dauberman.
Sarah Dauberman.
Sarah.
Sarah Friedman.
Sarah L.
Sarah Swift.
Sherry Olson.
Shauna Mandel.
Sir Reginald Pennybottom.
SJV.
Sophia S.
Steph Goralnik.
Steve Harcourt.
Susanna Perez.
Tanya Lemos.
Tanya K.
The Byerses.
The Holterman Clan.
The Campbells.
Tracy Jury.
Tyler Rosewood.
Virginia McFeely.
Wendy Fick.
And Whitney Hoffman.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
We'll see you next week. And here comes a beta.